Welcome one, welcome all. Step right up, step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 182 is coming at you right now. Howdy, everybody. Portal Game Podcast, a podcast of the store called The Portal, where we're recording live right now. And for more information, you can go to www.theportalct.com. Check us out on Facebook, The Portal, on Twitter, at PortalGaming60, and on YouTube, you can see our live streaming channel, Step Into The Portal. Howdy, everybody. My name is The Brant. I am your host for this episode, and I am joined by...
I'm Brian.
I'm Larry.
Woo! And we're all here. We are a month short of going to Gen Con. I'm super excited. We're going to get back too. In the car and drive way too long and stop every hour so that I can use
Brant is allowed to go to the bathroom to do number one every time we need gas. Any other time than that, cup or window.
Yeah, it's going to be a longer trip than last time because we flew, right?
Oh, yeah, the last trip. Yeah.
So is that question, who is that, Brant? Can you see from here?
That's a My Hero game. We'll get to that question.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry, I'm not using my hand to brush you off. I'm just saying we will answer your question, Mr. L. But we'll get to it in a little bit. So there's that. Awesome. This is episode 182, Not My Kind of Courage. We're going to talk about the My Hero Academia CCG that is sweeping our store at the moment. We are enjoying that and our kind of thing. So howdy, Mr. L. We will get to your questions, I promise, in just a minute. But I just want to know, gentlemen, how are you doing? How am I doing?
Are you answering it first?
Should we ask how am I doing first?
A deep breath.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
Start of summer is busy for me, so I'm kind of excited to kind of know that I'm going to a convention after maybe a year and a half, 2 year COVID hiatus from them and see some of the people that, you know, we've gotten to know, and hoping Jacob Chris Paul, if he hears this, knows who I'm talking about. Hopefully he'll be there, and some other people, Mike, et cetera. So I'm excited, but I'm not there yet. I'm kind of in that, like, I got to get there.
You're busy right now, leading into it. Yeah, no, I'm doing well. We came off of a really fun game of My Hero, which was awesome. And the weather's been great. Like, it's been nice to just be outside a bit too, and, you know, playing games while we are inside.
Are you playing Frisbee?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Ultimate is happening, which
nice.
Is, yeah, it's been.
And I've seen you lately.
I know. There was a big gap in there, wasn't there?
It's not on Tuesdays.
For Ultimate.
Or are you missing it on
I Tuesdays? Almost played this past Tuesday, but I wanted to play.
Gotcha.
I knew I was already going
to
play.
Wait, just for everyone at home to understand, did you choose My Hero over Ultimate on
Yes,
Tuesday?
But I already had, I mean, I had found out about Ultimate the day before.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but that's
so, it was more of a pickup game.
That's still a big step for Brian. That's a big step.
Sitting his butt in a chair.
I picked you. And My That's Hero over
how many discs/frisbees do you own?
Yes. Next question.
Yeah, exactly.
More or less games?
Oh, definitely more games.
More games.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I'm doing so much better than 4 hours ago when I was nightmarishly panicked. So we're trying to do live stream from the store. 1 week didn't work out. It made sense. It was your anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
and so that wasn't going to work out. And then I got all the stuff, and I missed one component, and it was basically a component we needed to have in order to stream. So this episode and this day of streaming is thanks to my amazing wife, Kathy, who drove the component that we needed up here, and that was amazing. So I am in a lot better mood now that we're getting to do all this. And whatnot, but yeah, I think I'm like you. It's like, I think with like having to get the badges and everything, that's where Gen Con was suddenly like, whoa. And then you got a hotel. It was only like 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, I think the window opened. I think it was once people were like, once it got to the deadline for people to cancel for no, you know,
gotcha.
No huge penalty. I think that's when stuff opened up, which was nice.
Yeah,
but it was a different mode than I'm used to. I'm used to, like, you know, finding whatever I can right away and just not worrying about it after that initial housing block opens up. So it was a little more stressful, but I'm glad it worked out.
Nice.
So
Brian will be at the trade day.
Yep.
I'm going to be working the board and dice booth, so you can find me there, as well as I'm going to help run the Marvel Champions event. That fantasy, well, unofficially help. There's no official help, but
right.
I will be there trying to help people. And Larry will be playing every game he can get his hands on.
And hanging out
well,
at Jasco
a will
lot,
call.
Probably.
for a long
time. He's going to be at Will
I'm
Call
be the whole time. Will bag. Call Wednesday. It'll be
yeah, can't you just do it on Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm actually looking forward to getting to that Jasco booth.
Yeah. Oh, that actually makes sense. And while you're picking up your badge, I could be going to help.
Yeah. Yeah.
Set up, because that's a good half a day.
So then he'll be in the line with no one to talk to.
I'll yes. talk to Jason if he's watching and see if he needs any help. I'll go help him set up the Jasco booth.
There you go. Oh, yeah, we could have just asked there.
I wonder how much of it, I wonder if it's like...
Yeah, official, and they got enough.
Well, if it's Asmodee, or because,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Not that that's a bad thing, it'll just be different, right?
All right, so let's talk about My Hero Academia, and I want to answer Mr. L's questions first here.
What are they?
Push
I can't
up.
Read that far.
So he's asking how much money is needed to get into the game. So that is the good news. You can buy that rival starter
yep.
deck, and that's kind of the best place to start. And that is somewhere between $30 and $40, depending on which printing, because prices went up in the middle of printing those, right? So depending on where you're going to buy those, that's what you're looking for. You're going to get two full starter decks, 50-card starter decks, Bakugo and Midoriya. You can see the demo decks that we played in the previous stream we did today.
Which, to be clear,
and you get
those,
two ultra rares in those
right.
decks.
And those demo decks aren't what's in the box is better.
Correct, yes. The ones we played were like store demo decks, 30-card decks, and those are 50-card. They're, like, pretty flushed out. I mean, they work well against each other and everything, and you can just see, is this the game for me, right? You can
right.
get that kind of under your belt, and you'll get a couple of cards there, and you get the ultra rare, so you could you know, pop something that has some value to it mm-hmm. as well in there and whatnot.
But I think one of the things that they've always had as a, you know, the system's always kind of made it so every card is viable to some extent. So, like, yeah, like when you jump up, there are some cards that, like, the foil version is going to be a huge leap, but most of the playable cards are in the, you know, they aren't too expensive for like that. So it's like only a couple bucks for some of the rares, or like, you know, real cheap for some of the commons,
well,
uncommons and stuff like that.
Ryan, what I think is important about this game is that the commons and uncommons are very playable, as are the rares. Some ultra rares are really good, and you're like, oh, yeah, I want to get that. But some are not necessarily. So, like, when I look at some right. of the better decks I have, it's more than 50% common uncommon. You know, so it's not like some games where it's like you have to have a deck of rares or a deck of ultra rares. So I think it's very affordable. I think one box gets you almost, if not every character in the game, and enough of the commons and uncommons and rares that you'll be able to build plenty of different decks and enjoy it.
Yeah, and I guess it's also depending on who you're playing against. Like, my son and I played, and we just grabbed 50 commons each and built decks off of a character, and it was totally fun, and you saw what the character was doing,
yeah.
which is, yeah, like, that was cool. Obviously, that's not going to be something that'll, like, you know, necessarily win against, like, a fully fleshed-out deck, but it doesn't mean it's not going to. Like, you can draw well and still string stuff together like that with commons, uncommons, even some inexpensive rares.
And I said it in the stream that we did, but to me, the asymmetry of the characters is what I love. So it's like, I don't want to play the same deck two times in a row. We're kind of in that mode because you are both considering playing in the Gen Con, like, provisional tournament. So we're moving more towards tournament decks right now. But, like, for a while, it was just like, I'm trying out Tetsu, 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 Tetsu. You know what I mean? Like, and this is going to be fun. Oh, I'm trying out.
I think you missed two, but that's okay.
I'm trying out, you know, this other one. So, I think that's part of it. It's very play. You buy in over that. Is it kid-friendly? So you would be the best answer because you're playing with your son, who is
He's seven. Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely picked the cards that we were going to use. There might be a couple that are like, you know, I wouldn't say any of them jump out as, like, as bad as some card games, but they're, you know, it depends on the kid. Right, like, it's all going to be dependent on what level they're used to, how old they are, like, they're how many games they've played. Like, my son has played a ton of stuff, so he's playing, like, again, like, selective characters and, like, Unmatched, or, you know, games that I wouldn't say are recommended for his age group on the, like, you know, as a blanket statement. But I don't
know.
There's
enough flexibility in the game that depending on the age, you could build a deck that's easier to pilot.
Right.
You know, than other decks that are, like, much more complicated with responses
yeah.
and combos and
so
and
complexity, like,
yeah.
he has it complexity-wise. Like, artistically, some things I would just, like I said, I would, you know, not have him play certain characters, but, like, I don't think you're getting those in every single pack. Like, it would kind of follow the same course if the kid watched like the anime or something like that, or read the manga. Like, there's a different, you know, it's going to be different. Like I said, for every parent and every child.
Right, but if the question wasn't about is it kid friendly from a graphic standpoint and from a playability standpoint, I think the answer is yes, it's very playable, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like it has a pretty high learning curve, but so it's just going to depend on, like, I would think it would be a little tough to pick up and have your young kid be the person you're learning the game with.
Right.
I would say that's difficult. So if you go and you learn how to play the game somewhere and then you bring it to your kids, which is what you did, that seems to make more sense. Right?
Oh, definitely.
And they're drive. Like,
this is not an easy game to learn on your own.
It's hard.
Like, we struggled before My Hero when it was Universus learning. We were like, this is going to sound silly now that we know it, but Brant is reading cards and I'm reading cards. He's like, punch. What does punch do?
Right.
What does kick do? And we're like, and finally we found, like, okay, if it's not like highlighted in yellow or blue, the keywords don't matter other than for other cards referencing them. And then you got to know what stun does and what breaker and all that, which isn't that bad once you know it.
But there are some cool resources, though. Like, they're, you know, between like Discord and Facebook groups and stuff like that, like, Jasco does a good job. Once you know where to look, you can find what you're looking for, I guess is what it's at.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of different updates and FAQs for different cards on their website. So it's, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there, but right out of the box, it might be a little more difficult just to kind of, just to figure that out, you know, but.
And there's some YouTube channels I know, Cam.
Yeah.
Cardwell, did I get it right?
Yes.
Because what they do is they'll show you decks, but they explain the game as part of it, and you can see gameplay and deck design. And then my buddy Shane Duckworth there, what's his channel called? Shaneth L or something. So yeah, there's a lot of resources out there.
You can also check out Step Into the Portal, because we have played Universus. Yeah. Now we've played My Hero, and we should be doing some form of regular. I was even actually wondering, I know it's a podcast, we probably shouldn't, but like, could we stream before the 6 o'clock Tuesday night games nights? Like, would that work to throw down?
Well, you know what I think would be really cool is we're getting enough people, like, when we do our first official game, like, not tournament or
organized
play, maybe we film it, you know, and just have a film table where people will rotate playing on that film table and just get some games on there.
So
that'd be cool.
We'll try to get content up.
Did we get all his questions
on the
I can't
channel?
See
yep, yeah. That's all of them. Then he was just saying, oh, it's cool that you're live, and he's hoping, Mr. L's hoping that we make a debrief video for Gen Con. So, video, probably not, maybe. I would love to do the idea of, like, each day I just bring the camera, and we film ourselves at night, but, like, there are nights where it's, like, 3, 4 o'clock, and we know
can,
I am
can
beyond
I say, that would be hella entertaining, because we do get a little silly late at night. It might not be the best, and we have to apologize up front for some kookiness.
It would be good double coverage in terms of having a video on the channel and having a podcast that people could listen to. So our podcast, it's not famous, but it's people's often favorite episode, is we get in the car, we get about 45 to an hour outside Indianapolis on our drive home, because we drive, and then we hit record, and we just recap Gen Con Tuesday through Sunday, right, that we're there, basically. And we go through everything we did. So there will definitely be a podcast recording. So then the other is getting video, which, again, if I bring this camera and just pop a battery in it, you know, we could do something. And we don't have to do it at night. We could do it out, like, in Hall D or whatever it is. Like, it would be loud, but it's something we could do, you know, or find a spot. But so I'm not sure that we'll get to do that, but we will see. So check here. If not, when I do all bring home games that hopefully we'll have, I did an unboxing last year, so I will unbox or at least show off all the games that presumably we get.
Yeah.
Who knows? It depends on our wallets. It depends on review copies and things like that. So, all right, let's talk about My Hero Academia card game. So this is a card game from Jasco Games. We finally did a primer play, and then these two played an epic knockout fight between Mineta and Endeavor. This is a very popular anime. It's kind of like the newest popular anime, I would say.
I would think so, yeah.
That's out there.
Not that I'm an anime expert yet.
Right.
I am wearing a shirt, though, you know. My
he is wearing the shirt, really here, which is great for the podcast.
I think we should all get one for Gen Con, so when we go to the Jasper,
there you go.
We could, you know.
Borden Dice might have a problem with that. yeah, and this is just, I don't know, it's caught us by storm. What do you think has been the catch for you? Why are we all in on My Hero Academia card game?
Yeah, I don't know. The system's just really cool, right? Like, it feels like you're kind of doing this back and forth dance of, like, how do you... like, it, in some ways, to me, it feels similar to, like, a lot of board games that kind of have that ebb and flow, right? Like I said earlier, like, on Mash, like, I kind of get a similar vibe to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's just part of it. Like, and it's been fun to see how, like, how varied it can be based on what character you're playing, right? Kind of what you had mentioned earlier as well. So that, I think those things have been really just really cool to, like, deck build and try out all these different types of play styles, I guess.
And I think for me, what I would say with some confidence is I got very interested in the game before My Hero came out. And the system, I fell in love with the back and forth, the replayability of just different characters and all that. But what was difficult, and this is why I think it's so popular right now, is I didn't know any IP but Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, Soul Calibur, but I wasn't really looking at the Soul Calibur cards at the time. So I, like, started watching anime to kind of understand it more. And then when they converted to My Hero, what I think is huge is that they basically for now put all the previous universes on hold. There's rumor that they'll come back and have, like, a standard format where you can play all cards. But what I think is so awesome right now is that everybody, for the most part, is at the same level. Only two sets have come out, right? So we've been playing since the first set came out. So we didn't have to go back 20 sets,
right,
like Magic, and figure out and learn what cards are out there. And they're relatively reasonable size sets. It's not 500-600 card sets. I think we're talking 180 cards in each set, and then some promos and some DLC. 120? So,
well, like 180 and then 117 or something.
Yeah. So it's manageable so that you could really dive in and know the cards. And then from that, I think all of us have watched the show now, and knowing the IP from watching the show makes the game so much better. I have broken my rule. Curse this game. I had said I would never play Mineta ever. Okay. If you remember when the game first came out.
He's an annoying
character. Like, I hate this character. His character's not even good. Face down. Don't want anything to do with him.
Now he's your favorite
His
character.
Second version came out, and he's my most comfortable character to play right now, and I gotta...
Do you like him in the show now?
No. Sorry.
So the game is collectible. It's based off of the... Which collectibles are, like, through the roof right now.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they're nosediving as of the last month or two. But, you know, for the last 2 years, it's been on the up and up and up. So it's interesting how they become a lot more popular and they have more value than they used to have. But it is based off of the Universa system. Like Larry said, they reset it. But you do collect it. You buy it in packs and other things. And then what you're doing is you're picking a hero of which there's 40 or 50 or maybe even more heroes than that. And you're building amongst 10 different symbols. So you pick one symbol. You can't pick multiple. And you build a deck. Each hero has 3 symbols. So you're building along one of those. So mainly there's 3 different ways to build each hero, if you will. And I think that's definitely the joy for me. Is like, ooh, let me try this character. Now let me try him in this symbol. Right? Oh, now let me try this character. And characters will feel the same. Or symbols will feel the same, but with different characters, the decks will play out differently. So I could play Mineta in water, but then I could go play Asui in water, and because of the heroes, those decks are interchangeable, but they feel different based off of what the hero can do. Also, I think for me, competitive dueling is my favorite kind of competitive game. Like, I'm fine playing 3-player competitive Euros. They're fine. They just score the most points, but... There definitely can be parts that get frustrating. And then, like, 3-player attack, take that. It's just like, I can't do it. But in a 2-player duel game, like, I know your entire goal is to focus on me. So that competitive...
Well, and to your point, that competitive duel also creates so many interesting decision points.
Right.
Right? Because the decision points aren't as basic as you would think with just 2 players. But, you know, knowing what they can have in their hand, knowing what actions they could do on the table, mm-hmm. and what, you know, I mean, you just saw in that one game Brian and I played, there was decision points, you know, just in that game that could have changed the outcome of the game tremendously. So that's the other thing I don't think you get. like, I love Euros, but I don't get a huge feeling of, like, crazy decision points in Euros. I go, this is efficient, I'm going to do it. This is getting me victory points, I'm going to do it. I rarely in a Euro game do something to make, to weaken somebody else. That's, you know, my style.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
I'm
yeah.
not,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
My style isn't, oh, I could do this, it's not effective for me, but it screws you. I would rather just do what's most effective for me. And that's not usually a hard decision point for me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is very, you know, linear. This game, it's like my mind starts, smoke comes out of my ears as I'm like, Brian can do that, and I can do this, and then I can play this next. Like, yeah, I take some long turns, which I don't do in Euro games, you know. So, yeah, I love that. I think it just challenges my mind, you know.
Cool.
Yeah. So what else are we talking about?
I don't know.
You said we could talk about anything we want.
Can I say something?
No.
Well, I have one other point on My Hero, and then you could say
So I just want to, and this is, I'm trying not to be a fanboy, but, and Brian will either back me up or smack me here.
It's wearing the shirt.
But no, I wanted to talk about Jasco Games.
And calling out Jasco names.
And their crew. No, because they were, I thought, so professional, so accommodating. Like, when we met them at
Gamma.
They just, something about them, they were just appreciative to have the success of the game, love playing the game themselves, were just really cool to talk to, helpful, wanting to help the store as well as individuals. I think while we were there, they went out to a local game store while we were there, bought like 5 or 6 boxes retail from a store, opened packs and played games at that store like the day before. You know, so, but all of the people there that we met, I just thought were superbly just nice and fun. And I just thought it's worth mentioning that, like, if you support this game, I think you're supporting a really good, like, small, like, not family run, but they're friendly together. But
you thought I was going to smack you for that?
Well, I didn't know if you were going to agree with it. I didn't know if you were going to agree with it. You know, I didn't know your impression, you know, if you had this.
I couldn't feel more opposite.
Yeah, I didn't know what your impression was, but that was mine. It was worthwhile.
It was cool. Like they were great to talk to, and it was amazing to kind of see that. The demo night at Gamma was like a great way to get people excited about it and have people try out the game. And even like, you know, Jacob or whatnot, where we like bumped into other retailers, and the community just has been very welcoming, at least from what we've seen.
Oh God.
Obviously we haven't gone to any major like tournaments or anything yet like that, but it's been a great group of people to play games with and try out different a different game than we were expecting to try out.
And talk about full circle, you bring up Jacob, which hopefully if he goes to Gen Con, you will meet him, owns a store in North Carolina?
I think it's South Carolina.
South Carolina?
I mean, you know. They're going to get him. He'll get upset about that.
Well, we said his name right now.
Yeah.
But what's funny, though, is our first year at Gamma, we saw him playing this game at lunch. So they serve lunch and you're sitting with strangers at lunch. And we see him and some other guy playing it. And I'm so lost. I'm like, what are they doing? What? And I asked a few questions and they were really nice and all that. And then the next year is when we learned it at the Jasco booth. Mm-hmm. And I kind of fell in love with it then. And then we keep meeting Jake. You know, so it was just a funny full circle of, you know, seeing a game played at lunch, kind of just like scared of the cold water, dipping your toes in. And then, geez, we're like diving. We're doing like, Brian's doing like triple flip twist into the water in this game now. Like, it's, I go, hey, Brian, do you have 2 cards I could borrow? Because I want to try this deck, and all of a sudden Brian like pulls out this massive chest. I got 20 of them. You want to here? Take 2. You know, so
I had like, which one was it?
I don't know. I'm just my point is we've gone pretty good into this, you know, and it's been fun.
I guess I was going to say something similar. I was just going to say that I think what's also helped with a game like this is community, right? When you have other people to play with. If I'm buying all the cards, like Champions is a little bit like that now, right? Mm-hmm. I'm buying all the stuff. I'm playing all the stuff. The two of your interest level is minimal and low, where you're jumping back in with X-Men, right? But it's just not.
Can we say that?
Yeah, it's out. It's
okay.
Yeah. It's known. And so, you know, that just changes how that works when you're trying to convince everybody to play this thing that I'm collecting all these things on, you know? But when you have multiple people playing, and now we've started a night, and it went from the 3 of us to 4 people to 3 to 6, right? Like, and we got up to 8 people. Like, we're just getting more and more people every week. So that's really been fun. And I think that's a big part of these type of games. When you get people who are, like, going home, and then Larry calls me. He's like, okay, I made a deck. And then he's like, okay, I took all my decks apart. Like,
I only have four right now. I started. And Brian has 22 decks. At one point, you know, so.
Something, right? And mine all just fell apart in my bag because I put them in cardboard boxes that just smashed.
And that's part of the brain work of this game is the deck build, you know?
Yeah.
Which, you know, I play Magic still, and, you know, Magic has a world of cards to choose from and build, but I, you know, this game I thought it would be easy to deck build because it's like, oh, just pick one of these three symbols on this character. But the intricacies, like, you know, paring down from 60 to 50 or 55 or 53, like all those decision points on what cards you're putting in there are just very... They're intense. Like, I sit at home and have a pile of 80, 90 cards that I'm like, oh, I want to take this out. Oh, I'll add this in. Like, it's not as simple, like,
unless
pick all the fire
Endeavor.
Cards. Oh, if you're playing Endeavor. Whoa, boom. 90 card deck. What was your first Endeavor deck? 100 cards?
Something like that, yeah.
That's
and what's it? What's it down to now? Like 70, 75?
Some, yeah.
And you went through it? No, you were down to like...
Wait, I had nine... left. Yeah. So I had... Okay. So it's at least 54 cards.
There you go.
Plus whatever
in your
my
hand,
foundation, yeah,
hand,
yeah,
yeah.
So
and your momentum. Someone wrote something, Brian.
Yeah,
Steve is back.
Hey, Steve,
we're recording a podcast live, Steve.
By the way, Steve, I love your sleeves.
Nice.
I purchased some. Those were.
I was looking for
really
sleeve.
Good.
I was looking for these.
No, Steve. I don't know the name, but they
make it shine.
Make it shine.
Those available those are, at the portal.
Those are really cool. So.
I was going to say that deck building is a big part of this game, right? So you've got to be into deck building. So unlike maybe an LCG or like an Ashes where you can buy pre-built decks, this game is fully about deck building. So that's something that you're not going to... I mean, I guess there's a whole net deck thing, like find decks, but this game isn't really favored towards that.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what your goal is, right? Like, there's a lot of joy to be had in just... putting stuff together and seeing what does work. You know, even just like, you know, like what Larry was saying, like if you just build a deck of 100 cards or something like that, you could just play with that and see what you want to draw. Like, right. And if you find that you're like drawing things that you don't want or just not using, like it's an easy way to just cut stuff out from that.
Yeah. So. Well, and I mentioned TM Cardwell and Shane there, Shane Duckworth. You know, it's not a... different than maybe a Magic list where you kind of go online and see like, oh, here's an exact deck. Let me try to recreate it. I have looked at some of their budget decks. They do a lot of budget decks online, like build this deck for $24, you know, and I've built them, played them, and then given it my own twist and gone, oh, I like what they're doing. Sure. Or at least they're giving you some ideas of like, hey, did you know you could do this with this and this? And then you're like, oh, that's cool.
Right. But how do you use some of those cheaper cards?
Right. And now, oh, I want to try to do that a little differently. You know, so then you might start with a deck you found online on a YouTube channel, and it might be 20 cards different by the time you're done with a similar. So don't be scared, I think, to like get some ideas online if you need to, because that's how I started. That's how I got some ideas.
Yeah, some synergy decks. Can be way better than straight up power, but it could be the other. You know, like sometimes it depends on how you draw, how you're playing, what you're.
Well, sometimes you did this twice. Like sometimes you look at a card and you think. The card is meant to do this, and then I saw you play it, and you did something totally different with it because the rule worked, but you weren't doing it for what I thought the card was intended to do. And then I'm watching your deck, going, "Oh, that's pretty cool." Now that I know that can do that, I think I want to try a deck like this using that card, right? Like you did that with Momo, you did that with a few characters where I just was like, "Oh, that's really neat," you know. So,
Steve says he liked your forearms character because I. Brought that to Con of Heroes, and Steve and I stayed together. So he played there, which is Fourth Kind, right? So he was enjoying that one. Favorite part is deck building. Yep, how you can inspire different ideas. There you go. Yeah, no, I mean that's definitely. I think it's a big part of this game. So if deck building is not your thing, it's
you can still enjoy it, but it's
just it's going to be tough to be your kind of main.
I feel like it's like a miniatures type of game, right? Like where like if you enjoy building, painting, army build, like you know, like there's a lot of other stuff that goes into it, you know. So maybe you focus on one thing, but you know, there's stuff to be had for everything, every aspect of of the game.
Right, and to your point, like in a minis game, you could pay someone to build them, you could pay someone to paint them, and you just like playing. If you don't want a deck build, but you like the game and want to play it, go online, find the character you like, find the deck that someone's built. Start there, play that, and then modify it as needed, you know?
Definitely. No, it definitely helps to see what other people are doing and what they're thinking. cool. I think that wraps up My Hero Academia. That's a good chat about
it. Are we going
to
do a thumbs up, thumbs down? We do anything like that? I give it my two thumbs and Brian's thumbs
for the
up.
Podcast.
Yeah.
Two thumbs up for the podcast. Nice. We enjoy the game immensely. I think it pretty much becomes our favorite game of whatever year it came out.
Yeah, unless you play against Mineta.
There you go. Then it's no fun anymore.
He is miserable to play against.
All right, other games to talk about. Who's going first, or is it me?
I think it's you.
Okay. So Larry let me borrow his copy, which we also have these in store, of Batman The Dark Knight Rises, which is based off of
a mouthful.
Comic series. Is it the same guy that does Sin City, that comic? Is that who does that one? Anyway, okay. So there's a whole series of these. So this is a solo or two-player only. I only played the solo. I didn't play the two-player. But it's an interesting like combination of hand management, like resource management, and then just straight action selection. And so it plays through a series of five missions that come in the box. First off, it's a big box. You have the like collector's edition. We also have the other edition that's going to have more, you know, standees and things like that. You got miniatures, and then each one is like a story. So the first one, you get Commissioner Gordon is your ally. So each one you get allies or an ally, and then you actually get vehicles that you can go back to the Batcave to go get. You can go get your various vehicles. So it tells you kind of what to preset, and then you have a villain that you're fighting in each one. So I'm pretty sure the first one was Two-Face. And so they'll be out on the board. And what you're doing each round is there's a whole bunch of cards, and you're like flipping and drafting these cards. And so you're picking one card that's going to have an event on it. They're multi-use cards. And you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to deal with that event. So you're getting prior knowledge. And then the other two cards are going to either go into your hand to be like Detective Batman cards, or into your fight pile for when you fight, you can draw those cards to use them as fight abilities. And then you're going to go through a series of rounds where you're going to spawn, and you're going to spawn like henchmen, you're going to spawn newspaper reporters, you're going to spawn police on all these circular locations moving throughout all of Gotham City. And then you travel through, and your ally can travel through, you take a series of actions, and if a space ever gets three of those things on it, it becomes like a riot space, and then you have to deal with that riot is kind of the idea. So that's what you're doing, and you're working your way through. It's very story-driven, so then you're going to reset and go to the next one. I thought it was great. I thought it was a really fun Batman-style game. Its biggest downfall is going to be that it's easy. So in solo mode, it's easy. I don't know what happens in two-player. It strikes me that it really is a solo game, and the two-player is going to be some way of small manipulations for the other person. But I don't know, so I don't want to say, you know, what actually happens in that. But if you love Batman, which I know Larry does, like Batman's one of his favorite, and the difficulty doesn't have to be there. And I don't know that difficulty is a big deal for me in solo. Like, I feel like when I play a video game, I'm not always looking, like, I like to get through the story.
Yeah, I mean, there's difficulty, like, to win and not lose versus, like, can you achieve better, right? Like, that's one of the things I like about some of the rolling rights where, like, you know, I'm just trying to do better, you know, in some rolling rights that are solo versus like this game beat me or I beat the game. So I don't know if this Batman game has a scoring system of I did better than I did last time.
And I did not get to the end. I haven't played all five. So that would be kind of important. But I mean,
we got to teach it to me. We got to play two player.
I know. For a spot where
you
could,
no,
for a spot where you could just set it up and you could just play through all of them, because you keep some things from mission to mission. So you keep some of those cards in your hand, and you can play those cards to do things. But I found that sometimes I wasn't playing a lot of cards because I was able to achieve what I needed to
do. Do you think the game ends when you complete the story? Or do you think there's going to be a modality of being able to play?
There is something that you open when you beat it that I didn't open because it's your copy. Okay. So anyway.
When you beat the full game or just the mission?
I played two missions.
And you were supposed to open something after the second mission?
No, when I beat the whole thing.
But you didn't play the whole thing.
But there was an envelope that said, when you beat it, the fifth one, open this.
Oh, right. But you haven't beaten it, so
but
you wouldn't have opened it yet.
I opened it because I didn't beat it. Yes. There it is. So anyway, that is Cryptozoic.
Yeah, I didn't open it either.
And I feel bad. I know it's Daryl Andrews because he's a friend of mine. I don't remember who the co-designer is, so I feel bad. I don't remember off the top of my head, but there's that. So I played Batman The Dark Knight Rises. What do you guys been playing? Other than my recommendation.
I'm going to talk about a game, if I can, that I played a lot of, a bit of. For those that don't know, I've been a little lighter on the board games of late and doing some minis and some cards, Magic, sure. and My Hero. But one game I really fell in love with because of the art, and then the game turned out to be good. And I'm taking so long to describe it because I'm trying to remember the name. Help me.
What has he said so far? That
I got
Maiko's the artist.
D'Amico.
I made you get it all for me.
Oh, Valeria.
Valeria. Kingdom, Card Kingdoms of Valeria. I absolutely love that game. I've taught it to my other game group. They loved it. We've played it competitively. We've played it cooperatively. I also bought the board game version of it where you play as the villains, which is called something else, Shadows over Valeria.
Yep, that's it, Shadows of Valeria.
Yeah, and all of it's the same artist who I fell in love with his art when he did Kingdoms of the Raiders of the North Sea.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've been playing a lot of that, and quick, it's kind of like Machikoro meets Space Base fantasy theme, right? So there's a tableau of character cards you could buy. You start with a couple, you roll dice, you're looking to find those numbers to get more gold or more magic to buy more cards, etc., fight monsters or complete domains. But what I liked about this game versus others, and it took us a couple of plays before we realized it, the game wants you to do everything you can. So it's heroic, right? Kind of like right. We talk about champions. So yeah. If you have a couple of threes, a couple of fours, and you have a seven, and you roll a seven, you get to do all your threes, all your
three
fours.
Four,
right. And your seven, right? So yeah. That I liked, whereas in other games it might have been choose to do the seven, choose to do the four, choose to do the three. In this game, it's like, yep, do them all.
Yeah, yeah.
Get cool, you know, and go do your thing. So I really like that game. I know, you've played it. I don't know that
I
you
bought
have.
It. I bought it.
Oh, did you buy it?
I bought it. I played it. My friends from Croatia visited. I played with them. We loved it.
I played with you.
It played great at five. Like, it just keeps moving, and you get to collect things on other people's turns.
Yeah.
And, like, I still... Is it Space Base? Is that the other one?
Yeah, Space Base.
I really like that one, but it does feel like it takes a while to get back to your turn sometimes in that one. And this one doesn't seem like it's as long. It seems like it goes a little quicker. But then this has, what, like, the co-op mode, right? That you could, it's all stuff you have to buy and all sorts of expansions. So, yeah, I think that's really interesting.
So that's been my kind of gem.
And that is Daily Magic Games?
I think so.
Yeah.
And I have one other one I'm going to, before I let Brian go, because I love this game.
I got two before Brian goes.
You gave this game to me.
Ooh, whoa.
Star Trek Missions.
Oh, yeah.
Which also now has a Marvel version, which I'm waiting for you to give me that game.
Oh, where is my Marvel?
Or for Brian to get it in the store. But it's like another game that I haven't played. Something Realms.
Fantasy Realms.
Don't tell WizKids I'm giving away the review copy.
Fantasy Realms. But I love it. I mean, I love Star Trek. I love Marvel, so...
They
both the IPs
reviews.
Work, and the game just plays so well. And it's just, it's if you're into nostalgia, if you can kind of see characters in your hand and just remember episode, right? Like, so for me, when I collect, like, The Traveler with Wesley Crusher and a few, and The Engine Room, I kind of, that episode comes back to me, right? Like, so it's just, for me, it was really cool to play. And when I did my game day with the guys up in Savoy, I think we played it 11 or 12 times in our 2.5 day, like, because it's that quick.
You better know all the cards.
Right, like 15 minutes, right, 12 minutes, 20 minutes. It's kind of like a simpler version of Red Rising, which I love and has that similar drafting cards and scoring points in your hand at the end of the game. But yeah, that was the other one.
Your high score?
For?
In those
four?
11.
Your high score was four?
That was a...
Oh, God, you mean four starts?
Have you scored the max?
Right.
I don't know the max in that one because it's an unknown. I'd have to go through every card and figure out the max. I will say, for anyone who knows Star Trek, there is a Borg cube event that if you get the, or mission, if you get that, you could turn a couple of cards face down and count them as that Borg cube. And
that can get
I did
hand.
It once and Chris did it once and we both scored like
significant,
like over 100 points with those. So. Yeah, so I love that quick little card game.
I brought the Marvel one to Con of Heroes, and that was a good, like, just step away from Champions, you know, for a little bit, and it was so fast to play with people. And Steve brought Shards of Infinity, and that went over so well with card gamers, you know? Yeah, so those were our two games that we were playing outside of Champions.
And it's interesting to me, for being essentially the same game, how different Marvel and Star Trek are.
Yeah, they changed
the villains
just a
versus
bit.
The
yeah.
missions, and some of that stuff was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely are still very similar, right, but does feel like, yeah,
I'm not just playing.
They differentiated them. They didn't just slap art.
Because you got the symbols and all that, and yeah.
Well, I think that's everybody, right?
Yeah, we're good, right?
I mean, I feel like I'm just going to be rehashing some of the stuff.
Awesome.
But that's not bad. I mean,
you haven't been on the podcast in a year. What
but Ark Nova, like, stuff that's kind of
that
like a no.
Garbage. None of us play
it. I like it a lot. So, awesome. Get out of here.
I'm so sad.
Oh, because,
because Kathy's not a fan.
Because she doesn't enjoy
so
it.
So I don't own it.
But, yeah, no, like, Rachel and I have been playing it a ton. I've taught it to a bunch of people as well. And
do you play it solo?
I have not.
Okay.
So I don't know. I can't speak to that. But it's mostly been, a lot of two-player and then, you know, some other player counts mixed in. Usually two or four, but it's just been fun to, like, to try to puzzle stuff out and build your own zoo and, you know, go through the different, like, the starting boards and, you know, just trying to see whatever path you can take to get there. So I've been enjoying that. I mean, it fits right up the alley of, like, Terraforming Mars or even like a Race for the Galaxy, stuff like that, where it's a card game where you're building off of your stuff as you're going along, which is just that's the style that's going to work for my wife and I.
I was actually going to ask you while you were describing it and you just mentioned Race, because I think Race had been the game you've played at
Roll.
One point.
Race and Roll were up there.
I thought Race had more, but either way, do you see Ark Nova? Like, or is that something you're playing?
Long.
Well, are you, when you and Rachel are sitting down looking to play, like, are you finding, like, you'll go to Ark Nova before Race or Roll? Because I know Race or Roll was one of those ones you'd play at any, you know.
Well, it depends on the time. I mean, like, that's going to be more the issue than that. I mean, it's got a little bit of the flavor of the month, sort of, where it's going to be the new thing that's going to give you that puzzle. It takes up a lot of space on our table. You know, and it's a commitment. So we're going to be sitting down and knowing, like, we're going to be playing through this, doing all that. So it really depends. Like, I feel like, given the chance, it's just a matter of how much time we have.
You have unlimited time.
Then we'd probably
You're with Rachel, Brandt, me, and you.
Oh, wow.
And you get to choose to play one game. The other game gets burned. You never get to play it again. Do you go?
So with, I'll play two-player. Do you go Ark Nova with Rachel?
Do you go Ark Nova or do you go Terraforming Mars?
You're saying five people.
I'm just saying whatever. Two people, three
if
people.
If it can work.
I'm saying one of those games gets burned over your collection. You can never play it again, and the other one you can play. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Do you have?
I mean, I have more Terraforming Mars stuff, so I'd probably burn Ark Nova than buy it again.
I love Brian.
Yeah, that's a weird question. Whatever it's still like, you can never play something again. And
well, I'm just trying to ask,
you,
do you have do you think one is better than the other? Because so many people have compared the two.
Yeah.
I just feel like they're different enough for me where it's like, it's a matter of what we're trying to compete over. Like, with Ark Nova, it's going to be trying to figure out, like you're kind of doing your thing for the most part. There's enough interaction once you kind of see it, but it's kind of beneath the surface where it's not as straightforward interaction. So you're kind of, you've got to get a sense of how quickly the other person is trying to play the game. So if you have to like chip away at stuff and do, you know, if you have to be faster than your opponent to do well, like that's, you kind of have to get that gauge, right? Whereas Terraforming Mars, you have to know when the game's going to end, but you can score points in whatever different way you want. Like you still have to have a sense of the clock, but you can control it a little more because it's like a joint clock instead of each person is going to determine that by themselves. So, yeah.
I love Ark Nova, so.
No, and it's cool. Like we're not quite at the point where Adon's going to play with it, but he played Wingspan like straight up the other day, which was cool. Just he's got that going. Like he's been playing that. We've been playing some Unmatched. He's kind of come back off of that a little bit. Like the Marvel sets for Unmatched really boosted the game back to the table. I didn't mean to say boost, but I guess that works.
Hey.
But no, that was cool. Like that got going for us as well, Unmatched and now Wingspan. I feel like there are certain ways that Like, he wants to just bash heads in Unmatched. I played a character that was kind of trying to run away and do some chip damage, and he hated it. I think he won that game, but he was not... He did not want to have...
So if we were in a ring, he's the guy chasing the other guy around the ring.
That's the game he wants
around to
play in Unmatched, right. Which just, you know,
I'm
I
with
felt
him
bad.
There. Play right. Bruce Lee or T-Rex and just get close and just swing, right? Like, that's...
But it was like, I was definitely getting out of the way, and he was trying to... Maybe it was just the range versus melee,
right,
where it
right.
was just rough, where he was trying to do something that I was trying not to do. But no, that's been going well for us as well.
I feel like we're at a place where there are so many good games, right? Like, you know, when I started here with you guys playing games, you know, just from when I started in our 5 or 6 Gen Con trips, you know, the hundreds and hundreds of good games that have been added to the repertoire of games. When Brian and I were at Gamma, someone pointed out, and we didn't even think about going because I don't know that we were able to swing it, but they're doing like a board game tournament, right? Mm-hmm. You heard about that? I don't know if you've heard about
that. Oh, yeah,
the
one in Vegas?
Yeah, where they're giving out money, and you pick a few games, and then you... But I'm thinking if we could do something, like, even for raffle, like, that would be cool at the store to do, like, a mini weekend or on a 24-hour, mm-hmm. do, like, a... We pick 5 or 10 games, and people have to play through a couple of games and get to, like, a final table of, you know... Or score points, right? Like, right. You know, if you win Ark Nova, you get 2 points. If you win... Or something. Because they're... I used to have such an easy time going, oh, here's my top 3 games, here's my top 5 or my top 10. I know you've talked about wanting to do a top 10 again. And I'm like, I want to do that, but like, we need to sit down and talk before we do that. Because like, I need to remember, and I'm going to say, this is my game. And you're going to say, did you forget about that game? And I'm going to go, oh my God, you're right. I love that game, right? Like,
you just segued so well to what I was going to talk about. So I've been playing.
This is why you need me here, Brian. We have so much fun.
I've been playing on Wednesday nights with 2 friends, David and Bree, and they've been coming over for a while now on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. Bree was streaming on the channel with me, but we've switched to just playing now because 3 people in the attic, it's just not going to happen. So, but we started playing Marvel Champions, which is my number 1 game, definitely. And then it was like, oh, we could play something else. And they were like, whichever. Like, they haven't gotten through all the heroes in Marvel Champions, so they're happy to play every week. But I was like, well, let's just play through my top 10 games, like what I consider my top 10 games, and let me see, do I still enjoy these games? My goodness, they're so good. So, like, Castles of Burgundy, and then we played Rebellion, a 5-hour game of Rebellion. It was amazing. I enjoyed every minute of it. Like, it sounds...
With 3 people.
It sounds tough. No, we played with 2.
Oh, okay.
Somebody couldn't make it 1 week. And then we just played Brass Birmingham last night. I mean, that game is so good. Like, it's funny. You go back and play these games. You're like, oh, maybe they're just not good. Because there's some games you go back and play, and you're like, oh, it's not good anymore. Listen, and then others you go back. And then Gaia Project, of course, we got that injection.
Listen, I'll throw a random game at you that you taught me in a hotel room with Brian at one Gen Con.
Viceroy?
La Granja. Right?
Oh, La Granja.
Such a good game.
Yeah.
You forget about it, right? Like, there's so many. Like, it's just, yeah, it's like, I feel like I could play any of the top, what I would consider our top 50. I feel like I could play any of them any given day and then go, I forgot how good that was. That should be in my top 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Like, I feel like there are some you would not want to play in my top 50.
Oh, it depends.
But anyway, my point being just getting back to go play those games again and then teaching those games to people. And then it's like you said, sometimes you don't do that. You're just looking for the next new game like that instead of going back and being like, this game is so good, and it continues to be so good.
And that, to some extent, not that I'm segueing into my notes here, but, you know, one of my issues with the community sometimes is, like, card games that they say are dead because they stop being produced.
Because
of
the competitive level. Right.
But when I think about, like, you and I, during COVID, played so many, for lack of a better word, dead card games and had so much fun. And I think if we could look at that just like we look at board games, like, it's so great to go back and play whatever you consider a good board game,
even though
it's not new anymore, right? Like, I'm looking over there at Comet. I love Comet, right? That's an older game. Like, it's not dead because other new games have come out that might be better than it.
Sure.
But I feel like in the card game world, I feel like as games fall off, you know, all of a sudden...
They're so based on new product. Right, they're more
expansion-focused
than
But look at LCGs, which aren't competitive, right? Like LCGs that have died off, like, all of a sudden people stop talking about them, stop playing them. And it's just unfortunate, I guess, my point, because there are so many great games that I think I enjoy and the card level that if it's not new and currently supported, you know.
And I think some of that comes down to what I was saying with My Hero, which is community, because people enjoy, especially card-style games, minis games, because they enjoy the community, and the community tends to be more involved when the game is alive, right? That's kind of where that
Years goes. Ago, I used to play Decipher was a company. They had the Star Trek and a Star Wars CCG. Mm-hmm. And when that all went under, the online community, I think to this day they might still be doing something, and they made their own cards, and they kept sets going online, like print-and-play type stuff that like people were just creating. So it's just, it's interesting if you can find the right, you know.
Do you know that years ago I played the Star Wars Decipher CCG at the Time Machine?
Did you?
When it was not in this town.
Wow.
And I was a teenager. That was my first introduction to.
So you played, see, because the Young Jedi game and the Star Trek game were easier. The Star Wars game was the hardest of the three, yeah, Decipher, because you had to force drain people. I don't know if you remember that at locations.
I remember.
Hunt down and destroy.
I have a t-shirt because I won a tournament.
No spoilers.
I came in second at Gen Con, my first ever Gen Con, long before this, in Young Jedi. At their worlds or state or national champion.
Brian, what accolades you got? You own a store?
Did you drive to Gen Con that year?
I don't even know. No, it wasn't there. It wasn't in Indianapolis. Was it? You know who I saw there? Buff Bagwell. Do you remember him? The wrestler. So that was when the WWF card game was a thing.
Okay.
Right? And so that card game had a booth, and they brought in Buff Bagwell. Right, and I just remember thinking, this is such an interesting. Is my first, and I was like mid-20s. It was like new to me or whatever I was, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, Gen Con is not what I think of it as today. Because when I went, I had no clue about the board game piece.
Right.
Like, I didn't go into a hall.
Board games and tournaments. Yeah.
Exactly. I remember walking into a hall where Legend of Five Rings was being played, and everyone had like flag standards on their backpacks for the clan they were representing. Like, it was nuts. And I remember walking by and like, what's going on in there? And my buddy's like, oh, it's just all board games. I'm like, I don't care. Like, but that's so funny, right? Like, how that's now changed for me.
Right.
Because, like, my first Gen Con, I never really hit the dealer hall. I was constantly in the like wherever they were over there. Yeah, it was just
it's such come a full circle with
so,
My Hero.
So weird.
Might
I know.
Back there.
So weird, but I love some good card games.
All right, does anybody else have anything to say in case I don't let you on the show for another year?
Wink, wink.
Oh, yeah. Bye, I guess, for a year.
Obviously, we'll do the Gen Con episode. So.
Yeah, I'm hoping to do a top 10, to be honest with you. You
know now he wants to do it. Okay.
And I'm looking right here, right now.
Top 5.
Love that game. That's under the computer.
Twilight Imperium.
Yeah, it's such a good game.
I've never played 4th edition. Can you believe it?
Me either.
I can.
Let's do it.
I have.
Let's do
two
it.
Player?
No, let's get Brian and Mike and
like
a few
it.
Others. Let's play.
Why wouldn't I play?
Sweet.
Do you like it? Really?
Oh, nice. Cool. Man.
I guess Brian, you guys don't know
games.
My taste.
Breaking news.
Brian also likes
more exciting.
Brian also likes bad games. I just want to point that out.
Well, Twilight Imperium 3 would be an example of a game that was in my top 10 games that I just haven't played in so long.
Right. So it could be Twilight Imperium 3 and Twilight Imperium 4 in your top 10.
I could have both in there, yeah. We'll have to see. So. Awesome. All right. Thanks, everybody. That is episode 182. Thanks for joining us. You can find more on our YouTube channel, Step Into the Portal. And I can't even see that. Oh, Gen Con episode. Nice. My eyes are not doing well there. You can find more on our YouTube channel. That's also where we're recording this live. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, then you can check out the Portal Gaming Podcast, and you can go through a whole backlog of hundreds of episodes of reviews of games with these gentlemen, as well as various people from around the industry. There are 181 episodes. There was also, like, I did a bunch of vlogs during the beginning of COVID, where I tried to actually put up a little vlog episode, or not, obviously it wouldn't be a vlog, like a little blog episode every day in the beginning of COVID when we were all locked down and just
did you
home
not number those?
And whatnot. They're not numbers. Yeah, so those would be similar. But some of them are weird because it's like, I went swimming with the kids. Like, they're just, I was trying to just chronicle what we were doing and it was a spot to put it, so I don't know how many games. But we were playing a bunch of games. We're going to end this episode. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Until next time, I'm the Brant.
I'm Brian.
I'm Larry.
And we hope you step into the forest.